We'll just come and bow before the Lord in prayer. Our Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, when we think of the dreadful import of those words that you've written in the book, Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. Truly, Lord, we cannot take it in this evening. We cannot understand why Christ should die the just for the unjust to bring us to God. But Lord, we thank you from the depths of our heart this evening for the pain and the suffering and the sorrow that you endured on the tree at Calvary. O God, that the Creator himself should be lifted up and nailed to the tree. Oh, we thank God this evening that our names are written not just in the Lamb's Book of Life, but in the palms of thy hand. And as the Lord Jesus Christ was hung upon the tree in all its brutality, with his arms outstretched and his palms facing, Lord, the earth itself, we thank you, Lord, that our names, though we could not see them there, nonetheless, God could read them. We thank you that from the foundation of the world, the Christ of God had chosen us. What a mystery it is this evening. The love of God unknown to us when we were yet in our sin. And yet this evening you would say to us, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with cords of loving kindness have I drawn thee. We thank you, Lord, for the times that you spoke to us, for the times that you drew near, for the little things that touched our hearts, and yet, Lord, we understood not. But we praise thee for the day that the Spirit of the living God spoke with such a voice, loud and clear. And we heard thee saying, ye must be born again. Lord, what a day that was, when all the burden rolled away, all the guilty conscience, everything that would have kept us from Christ. Thank God that Christ came to us. Lord, we had no part to play in it. For we were dead in trespasses and in sins. And yet, Lord, you lifted us. You cleansed us. And how you've blessed us. Lord, surely we could write a book this evening of all the goodness of God. For all that thou hast done for us, we never will cease to praise thee. We thank you for family and friends this evening, Lord. But above all, we thank thee for the friend that sticketh closer than any brother. Thank God that he said to us when he saved us, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lord, we might by times have gone back on God. Lord, we might have been reticent in coming even in prayer to thee, whenever the troubles of the world would still fill our heart, when things would seem to go against us. Sometimes, Lord, we hardly find the tongue to pray. And yet we hear the encouragement from God even in those critical times, saying, call unto me and I will answer thee. Oh, thank you, our God, this evening for the pathway that leads us to heaven. Thank you for him who is the light of the world. Praise God this evening that you not only made the way for us, but you've given us light along the way. You've given us help from heaven when we needed it most. Lord, we confess this evening that we are but flesh and blood, dust and ashes, and that God should love us. Lord, we just rejoice this evening as we bow before thee. We pray that you'll bless every head bowed this evening. We commit everyone to thee. For those who are shut in, we pray that they'll receive their portion of the blessing. Lord, we commit them to thee. For those who are sick and for those who are sorrowing, for those who are struggling along the pathway, we pray that the hand of God will go out and touch them. Lift them, we pray, and bless their souls and fill them with joy, knowing that Christ cares for them. Oh, we thank thee for such a shepherd as this. Praise God this evening that we ever came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for his perfect life and for his perfect love. Praise God that we're going home to glory soon to see the city bright. And someday, all the old things, all the old faults, all the old failures, all the old sins that we bear from day to day, Lord, they'll all pass away. And we will be with thee, who art the same yesterday and today and forever. Thank God that we're living in time now, but one day we shall be in eternity with thee. What an endless, glorious, blessed day that will be when we pass through the gates to meet with thee. To see thee face to face and tell the story saved by grace alone. Lord, we still marvel at it every day. We rejoice in our hearts for such a love as this, for so great salvation purchased at so great a price. It's beyond our understanding and measure, but we just humbly thank you this evening. We pray that you'll bless us. We pray that you'll bless our minister even as he's on holiday, that you'll give him wisdom and understanding of the times. Yea, and do the same for us, for his family and for us and for our families. We commit them to thee. You've said that wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. Yet with all thy getting, get understanding. Lord, how we need understanding even in our daily walk with thee, to do what's right, to live the life, to follow hard after thee. We pray, our God, this evening, that the hand of God will turn again in mercy towards our little province, will turn in mercy towards those without Christ, that you'll draw them with cords of love, and that you'll show them even at this time that the God of heaven loves them. Truly, for God so loved the world. Lord, you still do. It's written in your book. We thank thee for Jesus Christ and his so great salvation. Lord, we just commit our way to thee this evening. We pray for help from heaven, for we know that vain is the help of man. Lord, we're nothing. We were nothing without thee. And we still are nothing unless God comes and touches our heart. We just commit our way to thee. We pray, Lord, for every missionary this evening, for those who are struggling in the field, even in the midst of this whole pandemic. Lord, it's a struggle to find the right thing to do, to find the right thing to say and how to say it and how to do these things, to comfort the people of God. We just commit them to thee. Bless every minister in the gospel this evening, we pray of thee. Truly, Lord, we pray that wherever the gospel of Christ is preached, that he'll be exalted beyond measure this evening. Pray that you'll bless us here and we'll give thee all the praise and all the honor and all the glory, for thou alone art worthy, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Perhaps we could turn to the New Testament this evening, to John chapter 1. There's just five verses there. And then John chapter 3, there's two verses, verses 7 and verse 8. And truly, John's gospel is well referred to as the gospel of glory, for it speaks of the glory of Christ from beginning to end. But here's John chapter 1. And the scripture says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And then from John chapter 3, we read these words in the verses 7 and the verse 8. Nicodemus had come by night to Christ, wondering in his heart concerning the things of eternity. And Christ said to him in verse 7, Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We know that God will bless the reading of His precious word to our hearts. I just want to speak for a moment or two this evening on the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign in all His works. He's sovereign even in all His ways. There is none that can say unto God this evening, what doest thou? Nicodemus had come to Christ, and truly, when Christ spoke to him, he must have been amazed that Christ should have joined the natural with the supernatural. When he said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, you know, couldn't understand. Christ said, thou hearest, but thou canst not tell. And truly, not only could Nicodemus not hear properly, he couldn't tell anything about it because of his lack of hearing, but he was also partly blind spiritually. Nicodemus understood the Old Testament. He was a Pharisee, a kindly man, no doubt. But I just want to speak to you about something this evening concerning the beginning of this verse. Christ says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, wherever it chooses. And yet, for all that, God controls the wind. God controls everything in your life and mine, the wind of change that blows even in the Christian's life, but He also controls the wind that blows in the natural sphere of things in this world. The wind bloweth where it listeth, but God is always in control of the wind. Just as God is always in control of the changes, the wind, spiritual wind that brings changes to your life and to mine. It's not just that God is in control. God is always in control. We might not always feel that, especially when times are difficult and the challenges come. You and I know that in the natural sphere of things, the wind can be constructive. On a good summer's day, we enjoy it. But the wind can also be destructive. Just look at last night and the things that have happened. When the storms of life come to you and I, it can almost destroy our faith. But we have to remember this evening, if we have trusted in Christ, and trusted we have, then God is always in control. He never fails. You see, even in the natural and in the spiritual, the wind is not only constructive and destructive sometimes, but it's always instructive. In other words, God knows exactly what He's doing. Nicodemus was in a fix. Little did he realize that the Spirit of God, the wind, the stormy issues that were now in his heart concerning these things, he was being blown about. He did not know where to go. how to ask Christ what he should do. He says, how can these things be? But Nicodemus would eventually come to understand that that is the way of the Spirit. If you and I look back over our lives and we consider what he has done for us and how he has spoken to us on occasions, maybe in a little, out of a little small way, a little small thing, nonetheless, it would have touched our hearts. We could all give individual testimony to that. But when God opened our hearts and spoke with that voice that woke us from the deadness of our life, that was the day and that was the moment and that was the time when we were saved by God's grace. God is always in control. If we were to look back over our unsaved days, we would realize that God had kept us to this very hour. Saved or unsaved, God's providence and mercy was there. But God's sovereignty ruled over all. God is a sovereign God. If you were to turn with me to Psalm 148 and the verse 8, Psalm 148 and the verse 8, this is what God says about the natural wind. We have to remember that God created the wind. If we look to the verse 78 in the verse 148 just to get the context, it says here, praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. God is in control. If you were to turn then to Psalm 107 and the verse 29, it's a most interesting psalm. It's a, like the Psalm 148, it's a psalm of praise. Psalm 107 and the verse 29, we discover here that God in his mercy and in his grace controls the natural elements as he so chooses. If you look at verse 23, just to get the context here, he says, they that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. Isn't it amazing that it says in verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. You will remember when the disciples were with Christ in the boat and the storm arose. Christ said, peace, be still. Christ was in the boat. And for you and I this evening, Christ is ever with us. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so it is even this evening with sinful man. Sinful man may choose to spurn God and do what he chooses as he sees it, and serve the God of this world. But it's only for a season. If you were to turn with me in relation to that and look at Revelation chapter 17 and the verse 17, it's most interesting. Here is what God says concerning those who have rejected and refused and spurned Christ. Here's what God says concerning their ambitions and their plans. Revelation chapter 17 and the verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. God is always in control. One day this world itself will come to an end. And at God's command, This world will be destroyed by fire. God will still be in control on that day. Everything will be done according to God's word. God's word and God's will be fulfilled. No question about that. But could I just say to you, just three short things here. Look at the struggles of this life. The wind of change ever blows in the Christian's life. Often encouraging, but sometimes most discouraging. Whether it be problems personally and family or beyond, work, in this world, it doesn't matter. Things can be encouraging, but sometimes most discouraging for the Christian. But we again have to remember, God is still in control of your life and mine. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. I thank God for that this evening. If it were otherwise, we would have made shipwreck long ago. But you and I, even in the midst of the challenges and the struggles, we can hear the voice of God saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Christ said that he would never fail us, nor forsake us, never leave us. And could I say to you this evening, concerning the struggles that you and I face, I know very little about your struggles. But in the storms and tempests of life, he will be there. He will be there going before you in the storm. But when the storm starts to wreak havoc in your life or in mine, God will be in the center of the storm with you. God will still be in control of your life. And of course, we have to give all the glory to God, because he is the same yesterday and today and forever. He cannot fail, and he cannot deny himself. His promises hold fast, as sure as the day that he first saved you and first saved me. You see, the wonder of it all in the storms of life. Turn back to Isaiah chapter 32. Here's a little verse. What an encouraging verse it is. Isaiah chapter 32. And we're just going to read the verse 2, but to get the context, we're going to commence at verse 1. And we're speaking of Christ. "Behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment." And here's what it says of Christ. "And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Thank God tonight that Christ is the only rock that you and I will ever need. The only rock that you and I will ever need. If you were to turn back to Genesis chapter 8 and the verse 1, and this concerns Noah and the storms that arose in Noah's life, you will remember that Noah had been in the ark, and then in chapter 8 of Genesis in the verse 1, it says, "And God remembered Noah." It doesn't mean that this was an abstract remembrance. God was never forgot Noah. Noah was with God in the ark, for he said, "Come into the ark, and all your family with you." And it says, "And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged." And you know, what a joy it must have been for Noah to live in the ark with Almighty God. But Noah, for all that, had to leave the ark. He had to take his family out. He had to live in this world. When you and I got saved, oh, the joy that was in our hearts But then God said to us, you must live in this world. You must be a testimony for me. You must speak of your Savior. And Noah, I'm sure, when Noah came forth of the ark, it said that he began to be an husbandman. And he planted a vineyard. And I don't know why the Bible records or why Noah got drunk. And it said Noah was uncovered in his tent. What a sad experience for a good man who walked with God. And it just goes to show us that nonetheless, God is always in control. Noah must, I'm sure, have missed those people that he preached to. He must have been disconsolate in feeling, I've preached all those years and I've never seen a soul saved. But as we've said earlier, there is none that can say unto God, what doest thou? Even in this life as we live, God calls us to preach Christ in so many ways. He wants us to live for him. He wants us to speak for him. He wants to tell us to tell others of Jesus, the mighty deceiver. And you know, despite all the problems, God would bring Noah through it all. And you know, sometimes in life, when God chooses you and I, or chooses someone to do great things for him, the enemy begins to work and tries to discourage us. And so it was with Noah. But we have to remember tonight that God had great plans for Noah. It was through Noah that the Semitic people, the Jewish people, would be born. Noah had a great task for Noah. Or God had a great task for Noah. And therefore Noah was under the spotlight of the enemy. But God blessed Noah and blessed his family. And even today, we see Israel, the nation of Israel, still exists all those thousands of years. Isn't it amazing that God is still in control of Israel? Thank God for the Jewish people this evening, for God says to the Jew first, and also to the Greek, the latter being us. Thank God for the Jewish people this evening. When Nicodemus came to Christ, he was partly blind. He knew the Old Testament. He couldn't have known the New. But what does God say of Israel, the Jewish people this evening? That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There will come a day when God will yet bless Israel. He is always in control. If you look at Job, turn with me quickly to Job chapter 1 and the verse 19. Job chapter 1 and the verse 19. Here was Noah, or Job. And Job was considered by God to be one of the finest men that ever walked the earth. For God to say to Job, or to say to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man. Job had his faults. But when God looks upon you and I today, he sees nothing but Christ. He sees nothing but the precious blood that has covered us for all our faults. And he says, if he is faithful and just to forgive our mistakes and our sins if we confess them to God. And he is able to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But here's something concerning the great wind. The verse 19 of Job chapter 1. It says, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness, and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men. This was the messenger coming to Job, and he says, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. What did Job do? Job gave glory to God. Job couldn't understand, just as you and I do not understand many of the afflictions that we suffer in life. Job's afflictions were far greater, but his patience at this point was greater still. The Bible says, "You have heard of the patience of Job," how it teaches us something this evening. It says, "Then Job arose and rent his mantle. He took his robe and he tore it in two." And it says, "And he shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped God." I don't know about you, but I would have at that point been struggling to worship Almighty God. And here's what he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job knew exactly that God was in control of his life. Thus, that is exactly what kept Job going. You'll remember whenever the burden of his friends' criticism was getting too heavy for him, what did he say? "I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth." Job knew that God was still in control of his life. If you could turn to 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're speaking now of suffering by Noah. There's not only struggles, but there's suffering. Noah and Job suffered in so many ways. We come now to Elijah, 1 Kings and the chapter 19. First Kings in the chapter 19. Elijah had seen the prophets of Baal slain. He had seen a great work done for God. But immediately after the great work that he had seen done, he became disconsolate because of the threats of the enemy of Jezebel, who threatened his life. Is it not the same with you and with me? Sometimes in life, in the Christian life, when we see wonderful things done, then comes the big downer. That's a worldly name for it, but that can happen. Elijah was down and disconsolate and discouraged and afraid. But God sends a great wind here. And it says in the verse, chapter 11, God's speaking to Elijah, and he says, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by." The Lord was still in control of Elijah's life. The Lord was still in control of the enemy. And it says, "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." You see, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. It wasn't lightning that broke the rocks. It was a massive, strong wind. And God was saying to Elijah, "I am still in control. I am always in control of your life, Elijah." What a blessing that must have been to Elijah. Isn't it marvelous what God can do with your life and mine? But we want to move on quickly. If you were to turn to Acts chapter 27, and it concerns the Apostle Paul here on the verse 40. Acts chapter 27 on the verse 40. Still speaking of the wind and those adversarial things that can arise in life. And we find Paul here on the ship with the prisoner, other prisoners. They had set sail against Paul's advice. And in Acts chapter 27 in the verse 40, "That tried many things to bring the ship near the shore. Everything failed." And dear friend, could I say to you tonight, and I'm speaking to myself, when you've tried everything else, try God. Bring your problem to God, because that's exactly what Paul done. And here's what happened. Paul had committed his way to God. He had committed all those 100+ souls in the ship to Almighty God. God was impeached by Paul, approached, or God was asked by Paul to save everyone's life in that boat, I have no doubt about it. Paul did not want to lose a single soul in that ship. That's how much Paul loved the gospel and loved the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's what it says in the verse 40. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea. Who would be foolish enough to do that? But God was in control. Committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind and made toward shore. It was only whenever those people in the ship give everything over to God, they were about to be destroyed if they had refused to obey Paul. Verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground. God was in control. And the four parts stuck fast and remained unmovable. But the hinder part was broken with the waves. And we know the end of that story in verse 44. It says, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship, they all escaped safe to land. Could I say to you concerning the Christian life this evening, we are very much like the people in that ship as Christians. I know of no other Christians in the ship but Paul, but one was sufficient. God was in control. He used one man. And he listened to one man. He listened to the prayers of Paul. Someday you and I, we don't know what day, what moment, what time it is. Someday you and I will have to take up the anchor of this life. We'll have to commit ourselves unto God. We'll have to loose the rudder bands. We'll have to hoist up the mainsail to the wind. We'll have to say to God, over to you, dear Lord, do as you will. And we will make towards shore. But when our life is done, and this is occurring in our lives, we will be making towards the heavenly shore. And God will still be in control. Because God will be at the helm of our lives. The great captain of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, will see that we reach the heavenly shore. Thank God for him tonight. We have spoken of the struggles and the suffering. But could we just mention something else in closing? I just want to mention about the safety, the eternal safety of God's people. If you turn to Revelation chapter 6 and the verse 13, and we're speaking of the end times again. Revelation chapter 6 and the verse 13. And we're speaking here of a day when men and women who have spurned God, who have mocked God, who have defied God, who have refused Christ, will discover that God is still in control of every aspect of their lives and every aspect of this created earth. And they will discover something here. In the verse 13 it says, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth. It may be figurative, it doesn't matter. We don't know everything concerning, in fact, very little do we understand sometimes of the book of the Revelation, but we trust God. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. How could ungodly men know that this was the wrath of the Lamb? They will know in that terrible day. No security for the unsaved in the day of their death. But just as we close, here is a wonderful safety and assurance to God's people. Look at Revelation chapter 7 and the verse 1. Speaking of the wind again, it's wonderful. Revelation 7 and the verse 1, and it says, after these things, this is John speaking by the Spirit, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. Verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Here's what the scriptures say of your salvation and mine. In Paul writing his letter to the Ephesians, he says that instant you believed, or the moment you believed, or after you believed, it's all simultaneous. Ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You cannot lose your salvation. You cannot lose your safety. It cannot be lost. God is still in control. And then he goes on, and this is God's great revival that he brings to Israel. We're speaking of the tribes of Israel here. God chooses by his grace and by his mighty power to honor his promise to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Thousands of years old, it doesn't matter, God never forgets. God starts to seal so many, a figurative number it may be. But Israel will yet return again to God one day. And here's the wonderful thing, just as we finally close. Look at Revelation chapter 7 and the verse 9. Here is Jew and Gentile joined together. John says in the verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And we can leave it there, dear friend. For on that day, he will show to you and I that he was ever in control, not only of your life and mine, but of all the nations upon the face of the earth from Adam. God is still in control. May God bless his word to your heart tonight. We'll just close in a wee word of prayer this section of the meeting. Our God and Father in heaven, we thank you in our Saviour's name for the word of God. Lord, there's none like that. There's no book that can be written that would encourage our hearts like this. There is none like Christ. Thank God that he is indeed our friend this evening. Thank God that he is our Saviour. Thank God that he is not just the good shepherd and the great shepherd, but he is the chief shepherd. We pray that if there be any listening to this little meeting tonight without Christ, that they'll consider their latter end. Thank you for being with us and blessing. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just as we come to the time of prayer, could we maybe turn to another hymn? It's the hymn 42. And it concerns the greatness and the glory of God. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made. I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. And we'll sing this hymn softly again.